Lord, I thank you that you love us. I thank you that you've given us your word to learn from. I pray, Lord, as we look into your word, that it would be a blessing to all of us, that we would learn from it, that we would see what you would have for us and as you're showing us how to live. Lord, I pray that you would just calm our hearts. I pray that we would be able to get out of your word what you would have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so let's look at, we're going to turn to the book of Ruth. My marker got moved. Okay. Now, I want us to go turn back in your hymnals to that How Firm a Foundation, 578. Go ahead and turn back to that. Verse 3, it says, when through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt me, I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. So, when you think about the book of Ruth, there's a lot of hard things that have gone on, that's going on in the book of Ruth. There's, it's a very hard time in life for Naomi and for Ruth. So we're gonna look at, often when I have heard the book of Ruth, people often talk about there's three main characters in the book of Ruth. You have Ruth, Naomi, and Boaz. I think there's four. I think you have Ruth, Naomi, Boaz, and the Lord. And I think often we leave the Lord out of it. We see this story and we see how they're working and what they're doing, and we don't see how God is working and how he has orchestrated all this. So today we're going to look at Ruth, Naomi, and the Lord. We're going to leave Boaz out of it. He's going to... If I have another time, sometime to speak, I may talk about Boaz, and we may refer to him a little bit, but most of it is not going to involve Boaz. If I were to say to you, let me tell you a story about my mother-in-law. Most of you kind of even just chuckled, and not just saying my mother-in-law. Okay, I have a wonderful mother-in-law. I'm not saying about my mother-in-law. But typically, if we start a sentence out like that, you think, okay, you're going to tell me some kind of anecdote about a mother-in-laws, or you're going to tell me something bad about your mother-in-laws, or just mother-in-laws in general. But when we look at Naomi, Naomi was a great mother-in-law. There's parts of the story that she struggled, but in this story, Naomi was a great mother-in-law because she loved her daughters-in-law. She wanted what was best for them. And that was her desire, was to do what was best for them and to love her family. So we're going to look at Naomi and Ruth and the Lord. So let's go turn to Ruth chapter 1, and we're going to read a little bit here. Verse 1 says, now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. Okay, let's stop there. So with that statement, it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled. So what does that tell us about this time period? The fact that the judges ruled. And I want your feedback. Now, right, there's no king. What do we know about, though, in Scripture when the Lord tells us that the judges ruled? What was going on? Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. So what would we say about this time in Ruth? This wasn't a good time. This was not a good time in the history of Israel. When every man's doing what's right in his own eyes, that's a dangerous time. When I think that, you know, what I think is right, what you think is right, and we'll all just do what we think is right. So for that to, so that's kind of just set the stage there, that when it came to pass that when the judges ruled, so there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi. The name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephratites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. So because of the famine, they moved from Bethlehem to Moab. Okay, and that's about 50 miles. So they're about 50 miles apart. So it's not real far. It's a distance that we could make in less than an hour. But for them, you know, it's probably a couple days, you know, for them to go that far if they had to walk or whatever, a few days, 2 or 3 days. So wasn't too far away. So they were having a famine in Bethlehem. So there was very little to eat. So Elimelech, he took his family and he moved to Moab. So, now, what do we know about the Moabites? They're not friendly with the Israelites. Okay, the Moabites and the Israelites do not like each other. Now, you remember why? What happened when the children of Israel were traveling out of Egypt and they came to Moab? What happened? Wouldn't let them come in. Now, you're not traveling through our country, you know, because they just wouldn't let them. So that was there's a rift between the Moabites and the Israelites. So there's not a love there between the two. So Elimelech moved his family to Moab to have something to eat. And then in verse 3, it says, "And Elimelech," well, that's a tough word for me to say, "Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left, and her two sons, and they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husbands." So the story just keeps getting worse for Naomi. She's moved out of her country. Now you think about that. You know, would that be a big deal for us if we had to leave? If you had to leave your home and you had to go to another area to live because you didn't have anything to eat? Now that would be a huge deal for my wife, because my wife loves living in our house. For me, I don't care. I'll move, you know. But for a lot of us, you know, that would be a big deal. If we had to uproot ourselves and we had to move, that would be a big thing. So Naomi's already moved, and now she's lost her husband and both of her sons. Obviously, that is a terribly emotional time for her, to lose her husband and both sons. But it is a terrible time for her in this time of history, because now she has no one to provide for her. Because in their society, in their context, there would have been, you would have had your husband, and he would have provided for her. And then when he passed away, that would have went to the sons, and then they would have taken care of their mother. Because the inheritance was not passed down from the wife, from the husband to the wife. It didn't go that way. It went from the husband to the sons. So she was basically, without her husband and sons, she was destitute. She was not in a good spot. This was terrible for her and for her daughter-in-laws. They were in a rough place in their lives. And we see Naomi's reaction. So let's go to verse 10. And she says unto her, "Surely we will return with thee unto thy people." And Naomi said, "Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say, I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sake that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me." So Naomi is assuming that the Lord is against her. And Have you ever been in a time in your life when things have been so rough for you that you think, wow, the Lord is against me. He has turned his hands against me. I've been there in my life and thought, I don't know why, but I believe the Lord is against me. Now, do we see the whole picture of life? No. Naomi was going through a terrible time in her life, and so were her daughter-in-laws, going through a terrible time. But if I see the whole picture, I mean, think about Naomi, what her life ends up like, you know. So it's hard for us, because we're human, we're frail. When we go through struggles and trials, we think, the Lord is against me. And that's exactly what she thought. She thought that the Lord was against her. Now, if we go to verse 20 of chapter 1, and she'll tell more about her struggles. And this was after they had come to Bethlehem. And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home empty, again empty. Why then call me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me. So we see that she is just struggling. She thinks that the Lord is against her. She thinks the Lord has afflicted her, that these struggles that are in her life are because of something that maybe she has done, but the Lord, she feels that the Lord is against her. Now let's look at a little bit at Ruth. Like we talked about with Naomi, the same thing was going on in Ruth's life. She's going to struggle without having a husband. Now, I think the book of Ruth, if we look at it, the book of Ruth is very much like a love story between Naomi, Ruth, Boaz, and the Lord. Now, I don't read love stories. I don't know if some of you do, but you know, the only one that I can really think of that I had something to do with in my lifetime during school was Romeo and Juliet. Okay, and our English teacher used to be a pastor here, Mr. Who am I talking about? Mr. Owen. Mr. Owen was a pastor here at a time, and I went to Temple Christian, and he was our English teacher there. And he loved literature. And he told us that we're going to study Shakespeare. And I remember saying to him, this is terrible, I was such a snot. I said to him, this is stupid. I don't want to study this. This doesn't make any sense. Why would you have us do this? And I, like I say, I was wrong. I shouldn't have done it. But by the end of our class, I really liked Shakespeare. I got to where I enjoyed it. Now, I don't read it. I don't read it today, but I enjoyed it because he made it great. So he told us about Romeo and Juliet. Well, that's probably the most famous love story there is. And it ended tragically. You know, everybody's dying, getting stabbed and poisoned, and you know, it ends terribly. But this love story ends well. And you see the commitment that Naomi and Ruth had for each other. You know, it would have been a struggle in some ways for Naomi to bring her daughter-in-laws with her, because she didn't have any promise of anything back in Bethlehem. She didn't know, you know, as the story goes, when Naomi was talking about, do I have sons in my womb that you could have as husbands? That was talking about the, you all know it. Say it again. Levirate marriage. Okay. So you get for the Israelites, you have a husband and he dies. His brother is supposed to step up and marry you so that you're not destitute, you're taken care of, and also so that your line does not stop. So that you have, if you have a child, your name continues. So that was supposed to happen in their society. So that's what Naomi was talking about at that time. I don't have any more sons to give you. So there was no one to marry these girls to carry on that lineage. So we see when Ruth and Naomi were together, Naomi has nothing for her. She has nothing to give her. You know, that's why she was telling them, it's better for you to stay here. It's better for you to stay here with your people. Coming with me is not going to necessarily be better because I have nothing to give you and I have nothing to provide for you with. Because of the way that their land worked with the inheritance, that I'm not exactly sure how this all works, but and where that land would have been. I'm not sure if that land was on hold somewhere because of her sons dying, because we do see that Boaz says, well, he's going to purchase that. So at the least, we know that she didn't have anything to eat because that land was not planted. Okay, so they wouldn't have been anything there for them to eat. So Ruth had nothing to look forward to. Naomi had nothing to give her. But we see that Ruth said she loved her. Where she lived, she wanted to live. Her God was her God. She wanted to die where she died. And she made a commitment there to her that if I don't follow through with this, bad things would happen to her. So we see in verse 22 of chapter 1, go to that, it says, Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with which returned unto the country of Moab, out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. Now, keep that statement in your thoughts, the beginning of the barley harvest. And that's an important statement. It's very important. If we look at, now how does God enter this story? You think about that sentence right there. And they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. The beginning of the barley harvest would have been in April. Around Bethlehem, they have the land there is great for crops. So they have two harvest seasons per year. So this would have been their early season. And they said that, I don't know this because I don't know anything about farming, but they said that barley matures before wheat. So they would have had a two-month barley harvest, and then they would have had a two-month wheat harvest. So she is coming in at the beginning of the barley harvest. Now, I want your input. Why do you think that the Lord had that put there? Why did he write that down? That they came at the beginning of the barley harvest. Why is that important? What do you think? Okay, she's going to glean from it. Yeah, because we know that's part of how God took care of the poor and the widows. They weren't allowed to harvest the corners of the field. They had to leave that. If they dropped anything, they had to leave it. They couldn't pick it up so that the poor people could have something to eat. So you're right. God made a provision for the poor and the needy to have something to eat. So what would something else that, why is it important that they became at the beginning? I have the answers because it's... What if she came in the middle or the end? How would that differ? Why the beginning? Yes?
She had time to get a relationship and show her what she could do.
Yep.
You know, and show her character.
Julie is exactly right. She had time to get there and to show what she... What, who she was and what she was about. Because it says in the scriptures that she worked from morning till evening. So she was a hard worker. No one told her, no one was there to take care of her. She took the initiative and she said, I'm going to go. Okay, so let's look at Verse 2, or chapter 2, verse 1. It says, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. Okay, so that's just telling you what's going on and who there is that's eventually going to come into play. So the second verse does not, these don't go together necessarily. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, so Ruth is telling her mother-in-law, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. So at this point, they're in Bethlehem. Ruth decides, I'm going to go to work and I'm going to provide something for us to eat. And at this point, she doesn't know about Boaz. She doesn't know him. That verse is, the verse one, they almost seem like they're out of order, but she is just, that's telling us about the story, what's going to happen, and that there is a kinsman redeemer there for Naomi. There is someone there, and his name's Boaz. He's a wealthy farmer. But Ruth has decided, I'm going to go out and I'm going to work. And it says in verse, the end of verse 2, and it says, and she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned of the field after the reapers. And her hap just so happened was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was the kindred of Elimelech. So it's interesting how the King James words that. They say, on a hap. Or we would say, coincidentally, it just so happened. Now, do you believe that it just so happened that Ruth went out to glean in the field of Boaz, her future husband? No, no. She got there at the beginning of the barley harvest so that they were ready to go to work. Now, being at the middle or at the end, would there possibly wouldn't have been as much food? Maybe she wouldn't have gotten, maybe Boaz's fields would have already been taken and they would have been full of people that needed grain. So it's very important when we see this, and it says that they came in the beginning of the harvest. God orchestrated that. He had that happen for a reason. And he had her go to Boaz's field for a reason. It wasn't just because, well, it just so happened that, you know, I went left or right and there it was. No, it happened for a reason. And it says in verse 4, and behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, as she tarried a little in the house. So we see that Ruth not only took initiative, but she was working hard. She was working harder to provide. And then we see how that the whole story, and you know the story, how that Boaz became that redeemer. He became that he purchased that property. It says... You know, we don't look at it this way in our society, but he purchased Ruth. So now let's look at how the Lord comes into play in this. We see the Levirate marriage, how that the Lord provided a way for Ruth to have a husband through bringing that about, how the law, they had to keep the husband. The brother had to marry them. So we see that God provided there. In verse 22, we see that she came during the beginning of the barley harvest. It was not an accident. The Lord, you know, we could say, well, that's just when Naomi thought it was best to leave. You know, well, that could be true in all of our lives. We could say, well, I just so happened to do this. I just, you know. But we know as believers, the Lord orchestrates our lives. He tells us what he wants us to do. He shows us. He brings things into our life. And all of this time, Ruth and Naomi are not planning on miraculous things happening in their life. They're resigned to, working in the field and eating this barley. That's all they had. So their plan was not, well, we'll move back to Bethlehem and the Lord will flourish us. Because they couldn't see that at this point. But we see that God took care of them. Now, let's turn our Bibles to Micah chapter 5. End of the Old Testament, Micah chapter 5. Jonah and then Micah. Micah 5, verse 2. It says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been of old from everlasting." So who's this talking about? It's talking about the Messiah. And where's he going to come from? Bethlehem. Where are we talking about Ruth and Naomi being? Bethlehem. Now, who was Ruth the great grandmother of? David. Okay? So, we see the Lord orchestrating all this. There was no happenstance about this. The Lord brought them back to Bethlehem. He provided that Redeemer that with Boaz. We see them have children. Great-grandchild of is David, and then we know that Christ comes from the line of David. So all of this happened for a reason. Now, Ruth and Naomi, they didn't see the big picture. Just like often, we don't see the big picture in our lives. We don't understand sometimes, you know, why did the Lord bring this about? Why did he let this happen? Why is this person sick? Why did this person die? We don't see the big picture, just like they didn't. But the Lord had a plan for their lives. He planned and knew all along that Christ was going to come from this line, that he was going to be born from in Bethlehem. This was all planned. So we see that in our lives, God has a plan. We may be struggling. And maybe we don't see a bright future ahead. And there's times I'm sure that in all our lives we've been that way. I don't know why this is happening. I don't know where I'm going. But we need to trust God. We need to realize that He has my future planned. He has it all planned out. And it may not be as grand as obviously Ruth and then the line of Christ. I'm not saying we're gonna end up like that. But the Lord has our lives planned. And to think about that kinsman redeemer. Who is that kinsman redeemer in our life as believers? The Messiah, Christ. By his death on the cross, he's redeemed us from sin. And then what has he done? He's purchased us with his blood. So we have that symbol there, that picture of that kinsman redeemer. Christ did that for us. Just like what Boaz did for Ruth, Christ did for us. So we have. So I just enjoyed so much studying this. I think we see so many parallels between how their lives went, how the Lord works in our lives, how the Lord has redeemed us, set us apart. It's just, to me, it's been a wonderful study. I've enjoyed it very much, and I hope that you can see that even in times of struggles. Don't think that, and you know, with Naomi, you know, oh, the Lord is really hard on me and it's going bad. But what do we see when, let's go back to, and we'll finish with this. Go back to Ruth, I believe it's in chapter 2, verse 20. Ruth 2:20. It says, "And Naomi said unto her daughter," so Naomi's had all these struggles in her life, and she thinks that the Lord is dealing harshly with her. But verse 20 says, "And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kinsman kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen." So we see, even though Naomi was struggling, and we'll struggle, did it ruin her faith? No, no. And I don't think that we should throw rocks at Naomi because, oh, you know, she didn't 100% trust this whole time. She's human, just like the rest of us, and she's frail, just like the rest of us. And she didn't see what God was doing, but she didn't lose her faith. She didn't give up on God. She realized that she gave Him praise for what He was doing. And that's how we need to be. When we go through hard times, you know, I've told my kids, you know, it's okay to struggle. Just don't quit. Don't quit during the hard times. Don't, you know, when things get bad, don't just throw up your hands and quit. No, still battle. Still struggle. That's okay. You keep at it and the Lord will take care of you. So let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and then we'll finish up our service. Lord, I'm so thankful for your word. Thankful for the book of Ruth. What a blessing it is to see how you took care of Naomi and Ruth, to see how you didn't leave them destitute. Lord, we think in our own lives that there's times when we just don't know which way to turn and we just think that everything is going wrong. But we know, Lord, ultimately you have what is best for us. And even if we don't see that here on earth, we know that you have promised us, if we have accepted you as Savior, you've promised us life with you. Lord, I pray that you would just bless the rest of our time together. Thank you for the fellowship that we can have around your word. In Jesus' name, amen.